Welcome to the Blessed Sacrament Homilies Podcast, where our mission is to help everyone recognize and experience the presence of God. We hope you are nourished and encouraged by the Word. Thank you for joining us.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas got a band of soldiers and guards from the chief priests and Pharisees and went there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, went out and said to them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." And Jesus said to them, "I am." And Judas's betrayer was also with them. And when Jesus said to them, "I am," they turned away and fell to the ground. So Jesus again asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." And Jesus answered, "I told you that I am. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill what he had said, "I have not lost any of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. And Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into the scabbard. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father gave me?"
So the band of soldiers, the tribune, and the Jewish guard seized Jesus, bound him, and brought him to Annas first. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had counseled the Jews that it was better for one man to die rather than the people.
Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Now the other disciple was known to the high priest, and he entered the courtyard of the high priest with Jesus. But Peter stood at the gate outside. So the other disciple, the acquaintance of the high priest, went out and spoke to the gatekeeper and brought Peter in. The maid, who was the gatekeeper, said to Peter, "You are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" Peter said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the guards were standing around a charcoal fire that they had made, because it was cold, and were warming themselves. Peter was also standing there, keeping warm.
The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his doctrine, and Jesus answered him, "I have spoken publicly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogue or in the temple area, where all the Jews gathered. And in secret, I have said nothing. Why ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the temple guards standing there struck Jesus and said, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" And Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest.
Now Simon Peter was standing there keeping warm. And they said to him, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the one whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it, and immediately the cock crowed.
Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was morning, and they themselves did not enter the praetorium in order not to be defiled so that they could eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." At this, Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews answered him, "We do not have the right to execute anyone, in order that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled that he said, indicating the kind of death he would die."
So Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Did you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" And Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." And Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?"
Said this, Pilate again went out to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at Passover. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "No, not this one, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a revolutionary.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and placed it on his head and clothed him in a purple cloak. And they came to him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him repeatedly.
Once more Pilate went out to them and said, "Look, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple cloak. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the guards saw Jesus, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Now when Pilate heard this statement, he became even more afraid.
Pilate went back into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" Jesus did not answer him. So Pilate said to him, "Do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you, and I have the power to crucify you?" And Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me if it had not been given to you from above. For this reason, the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin.
Consequently, Pilate tried to release Jesus, but the Jews cried out, "If you release him, you are not a friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and seated him on the judge's bench in the place called Stone Pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was preparation day for the Passover, and it was about noon. And Pilate said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified.
So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus in the middle. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Now many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four shares, a share for each soldier. They also took his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top down. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it will be, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled that says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots.'" This is what the soldiers did. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in the wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over the spirit.
Since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of the week was a solemn one. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other one who had been crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into the side of Jesus, and immediately blood and water flowed out. An eyewitness has testified, and the testimony is true. He knows that he is speaking the truth, so that you may also come to believe. For this happened so that the scripture passage might be fulfilled. Not a bone of it will be broken. And again, another passage says, they will look upon him whom they have pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, secretly a disciple of Jesus for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate if he could remove the body of Jesus. And Pilate permitted it. So Joseph came and took the body of Jesus. Nicodemus, the one who had first come to Jesus at night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and bound it with burial cloths along with the spices, according to the Jewish burial custom.
Now in the place where Jesus had been crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been buried. So they laid Jesus there because of the Jewish preparation day, for the tomb was close by.
The Gospel of the Lord. During this time, I always find it helpful to try to identify with one of the characters in the Passion and try to see with their eyes and experience with their heart. And this year, the one that I focused on through this Lenten season and going through and reading the Passion accounts are those closest to Jesus that stood with him. Not the ones that went away and hid, not the ones that turned their back, but the ones that sat in quiet horror as they looked at the cross. Like his mother Mary, or Mary of Magdala, or the disciple whom he loved. And as they all stood there, because they loved him enough they wouldn't abandon him, what would have been going on in their minds and in their hearts? I don't think we can even get close to what that must have felt like. To look at a son or someone you love deeply and watch them suffer and struggle and die. And as they did so, the only thing they could hang on to, the only thing that could possibly keep them from totally losing all control, was a glimmer of hope. And that glimmer of hope must have been pretty dim. But it was there. And they stood there and they looked, and that hope sustained them. And as they looked at the cross, they couldn't possibly see the other side. But they would have remembered all of the things that he had said to them, all of the things he had taught them. And they would have held on to that glimmer of hope. And it was only after the resurrection that they could suddenly see not just the cross as a symbol of death, but to see through the cross and recognize that it isn't about death, it's about life. But it was their hope that sustained them. Well, for all of us, we face moments where the cross is very prevalent, where the cross is before us, or perhaps where we're carrying the cross. And we need to hang on to that same glimmer of hope. Because whatever it is we're facing, we can't necessarily see the other side. But we can trust that the cross always, no matter what, leads to life. Which is why on this day we call this Good Friday. Because it's not about ending in death, but it's about death that leads to new life.